So this morning, I feel like the Lord is wanting to release the oil of joy into people's lives today. And so just to maybe present ourselves to God as we're just sharing a few scriptures on this topic this morning, but just to open ourselves and say, you know, Lord, I want you to touch me today, to touch my life and bring your presence into my life or renew my joy in a special way. So how about we just pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Who comes to church to get touched and changed by God? So yeah, let's just take a moment just to still our hearts and minds before him and invite him to move in our lives this morning. So you might want to just you know, stand, sit, raise your hand, reach out, whatever is good for you, whatever works for you, but just to say to the Lord, you know, here I am, come and touch me this morning. So, Father, we do, Lord, as we've already sung, Lord, and invited your presence into this place and into our lives, Lord, we would just ask you to move upon us and among us, Lord, and release your presence and release your joy, Lord, into lives today, we pray. And Lord, we would just reach out to you, Lord, as an indication, Father, that we're open, we're receptive, and we're inviting you, Lord, to bring encouragement and change into our world. So, Lord, just come now and touch us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I was in a church service or some kind of evangelistic meeting in the Philippines in the late 1980s, and there was this gentleman there, and he was just you know, it's hard to describe this, but he was just like radiating joy. I don't know if you can imagine that, but it was like joy was shining out of his face, and he was just standing there. And I was just standing beside him, and this guy was probably about 60 years old, and that would be, you know, back in the day when I thought 60 was old. I've now realized it's quite young, but back then I probably thought this guy was old, but he was standing there and was talking, and I noticed that, you know, he had a walking stick, and I, you know, I just asked him, you know, what was wrong. And it was just this weirdest thing happened, and to try to explain this, but he said to me with his face radiating with joy, "Oh, it's cancer," as if he'd just won the lotto, or, you know, he'd just got married. It was just, there was no retraction of this sort of overwhelming sense of joy that was radiating out of him. And the reason for this, as the scripture teaches, and we can look at this a little bit, is that joy is a characteristic of God's kingdom and God's presence, and the joy that Jesus gives is not simply rooted in circumstance. The joy that Jesus gives comes out of relationships. So you can be enduring trial and difficulties in your life, in day-to-day life, and still be filled with and empowered by the joy of the Lord. And in fact, in the book of Nehemiah, the Israelites are going through some trials and reflections, and a bit disappointed with their performance. And Nehemiah speaks to them, and he says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength." And so what we discover in Scripture is that joy that comes from God, joy that's a grace upon our lives, is actually strength for life. And, you know, sometimes when we're battling through difficulties in our life, you know, our joy can sort of fade away, and our the joy that you know, that does come from God and that he wants to provide to us, we can lose our sense of that joy, because, you know, we're wrestling with difficulties and issues in our life. And so this experience of seeing this guy just standing there going, you know, I've got cancer, and just radiating joy, was sort of, was such an illustration to me that God's joy can sustain you in trials and in difficulties. And the joy that we have and the joy that we can treasure and boast about as believers is not simply related to circumstances. And, you know, many times, you know, in life, people are looking to get joy out of circumstance. You know, I'll have joy when I, you know, meet the right partner for my life. I'll have joy when I get a better house or a better car, or you know, this issue at work gets resolved. And we're looking basically at getting joy out of circumstances, which is fine. We do that. And we often get joy out of circumstances. But there's also this other deep and abiding joy that is a gift from God that we can have in our life regardless of circumstances, and even in the face of adversity. So I had this experience of joy, supernatural joy, the night that I got saved, which was a few years ago now, in 1985. And I was in this house and with these two other Christians, and they led me in this prayer to, you know, relinquish my life to Jesus and say, you know, I've walked independently, I've lived independently of you, and I'm surrendering my life to you and giving my life to you. And, you know, when people do this, like, very different things happen, very individual. So I'm not saying this is a pattern for anyone else, what happened to me. But when I prayed that prayer sitting on the floor in this lounge room, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me very, very strongly. It was like I was cocooned in God's love and filled with God's love. I could feel like this liquid love all around me and in me and through me. And I just sat there motionless, and I thought I sat there for 2 minutes or so, but the people there said, or the two people there that were praying with me, they said, oh, you were like completely still for 20 minutes, as, you know, the presence of God was just there so strongly. And this friend of mine who took me there, like, he drove me home, and when I got out of the car, I did this thing that I can't even try to demonstrate now, but you know the Toyota ad, you know, oh, what a feeling, and the guy jumps in the air. I mean, I know the feeling because I've had my Corolla for 15 years, and it's a great car, but but this night, like, I got out of this car, and there was like this surge of joy, like, went through my whole being, and like I jumped in the air and spun around. And I found out later that the Hebrew word for rejoice actually means to jump in the air and spin. Well, that can be one of the interpretations of that word. No demonstration is coming. So, and I had this experience like this of being like engulfed by this supernatural joy that comes from God. And I, like, it was like there was this shift in my emotions, you know, from being, you know, a bit sort of lost and didn't know what life was about, and, you know, 24 years old and, you know, depressed and discouraged and not really knowing what I was doing, but thinking there's something I'm meant to be doing, but I don't know what it is. And like God just touched me so powerfully, and it was like this sense of being cocooned in joy, it went on for a long time, like as in years, and was a very powerful thing for me. And as I say, everyone has different experiences, but Jesus, when he initiated his ministry, and you may recall, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and they handed him the scriptures to read, and he stood up and he made this declaration of what he was about. And he read out of the prophet Isaiah, and he read these words, and I'm quoting actually from Isaiah here, but you'll find this in in the beginning of his ministry in the Gospels, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says in the Gospels that then he closed the book and he handed back it back to the attendant and he sat down and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. So this is this declaration by Jesus that he has come to bring healing and good news and liberty into the lives of people. And if we read in Isaiah, it goes on, and the passage that he quoted from, to console those who mourn in Zion, to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So there is this antidote, if you like, for sorrow and mourning and grieving and you know, that a sense of death or depression. And one of the things that Jesus does when he intervenes in people's lives is to release what the scripture calls the oil of joy. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And what we discover in the New Testament is that joy is a characteristic of God's kingdom. And you know, sometimes that can be surprising because many of us have sort of grown up with the impression that church is about being serious. Who's ever thought that? Yeah? And the idea that Jesus is about releasing joy into the lives of people seems foreign to people who have like a very kind of religious mindset about Christianity and think it should be all very serious and staid. And you know, that's obviously a huge contrast that's drawn. But Jesus, as we've been looking at in the last couple of weeks in his teaching on prayer, so his first principle in prayer is Father, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. It's invitational, but the language in Greek is also almost commanding. Kingdom of you come. Will of you be done. It could be translated like that, a bit clunky in English, but that's the kind of way that Jesus taught us and encouraged us to pray. Paul says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God, this kingdom, this governance, this reign of God that breaks into our world when we pray as a response to prayer, he says this, that the kingdom of God, talking about different rules that people were caught up with, but the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this is a definition that Paul gives of God's kingdom or God's reign, is that when God is reigning, when he is ruling, when we differentiate the idea of kingdom from church and say, you know, the church are a people who can bring the kingdom, invite the kingdom, pray the kingdom, have the keys to the kingdom through prayer. That means that I can move, if you like, even as a Christian, I can move in and out of God's reign in the sense of my emotions or my character, like and stuff that's going on in my life. But when God is reigning, there is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul said. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. David put it a different way in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. This is a powerful statement, isn't it? That we can come into God's presence as believers and find this fullness of joy regardless of circumstances. There is an opportunity to confront the trials and difficulties of life empowered by joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to have a place for everything and everything in its place to have joy? Things can be, you can have upheaval in your world and have joy. And you can have everything organized and have no joy. Because joy is a characteristic of the kingdom. Now, Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 1, was the most joyful person who ever lived. Verse 8 and 9, it says this, to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. In verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Or their New Living Translation says, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. So we get this idea in Scripture of joy being like oil, like a spiritual substance, if you like to think of that idea, that God can come and pour out the oil of joy over a person and they can receive the joy of God in their life through relationship with Him. This is like the metaphor that the writer to Hebrews used to try to get us to understand that joy is something that God releases into our life, sort of like oil. And it builds on this whole idea of anointing that came out of the Old Testament. For example, when somebody was made a king, like Saul was made king by Samuel, and Samuel went with a horn of oil and he poured like probably half a liter or a liter of oil over Samuel's head. Over Saul's head, Samuel did. And this oil, of course, would have run down all over through his hair and down in his clothes. And he couldn't go down to 7-Eleven and buy some shampoo. Probably there would be this residue on his skin and his hair and his clothes for ages. But the oil represented something. It represented that God did something on the inside of Saul that gave him a capacity to be a leader. So he receives this gift of grace to lead Israel that's pictured by this anointing oil. And then when God's favor moves from Saul to David, Samuel goes then to David and he does the same thing. And the scripture says that the Spirit of God left Saul. And from that moment on, although it was some years till he came into the office of King David, had this leadership capacity that came from God from that moment forward. So we have this idea of anointing, and different other people in the Old Testament were anointed. So therefore, these Hebrew readers understood this, that what God was saying by this is that joy was something that God imparted to Jesus. He anointed him with the oil of joy more than anyone else. I don't know if you ever think about it, but Jesus was a person who was filled with joy. Have you ever thought about that? Because, you know, we can often think in very serious terms about all stuff in Scripture, but the Scripture says that Jesus was a person who was filled with joy. Now, The scripture says this. How do you respond to something if you don't really have in your mind that joy is a gift from God? And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always. Or in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say rejoice. So basically saying in these letters to believers like us, be joyful all the time. We say, well, how can I be joyful when I can't pay my bills, when my kids are playing up, when, you know, I've got all these arguments and stresses at work and, you know, And Paul's telling me to rejoice all the time. All the time. This is like to be my default emotion, is joy. So how can we have joy in our daily life? That's a good question. Because joy is strength in life to face the circumstances of life. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, Jesus said this, John 15:11, we've seen that he is the most joyful person, according to Hebrews chapter 1. These things I've spoken to you, Jesus says, that my joy, says Jesus, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That Jesus is saying this to each of us, that my joy, says Jesus, not me, my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. Remember, David said, in your presence there is fullness of joy. So Jesus is saying, hey, I'm giving you my joy. I'm releasing my joy into your life. Galatians 5:22, among other things, says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That means like the consequence or the outworking of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life is joy. Not seriousness and depression, but joy. If the presence of God of the Holy Spirit is activated in my life, there's going to be this sense of joy. It might not be laughing and dancing all the time, but inside, there's this joy. There's this joy bubbling up, this joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Peter talks about this and says, though now, 1 Peter 1:8, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Or another translation, filled with a joy that cannot be explained. Or another translation, indescribable and glorious joy. Now you can be filled with a joy that cannot be explained because it doesn't come from your circumstances, it comes from relationship with Him. So, just one thought before we pray. There is this idea in Scripture that God gives joy, that sometimes joy abates, and God restores it. In Joel, the trials that the nation was going through at that time, Joel 1:12 says, the vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree and the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. In Galatians, the church is being, you know, tested by legalism. And they've sort of left their freedom and liberty in the spirit, and they're being pushed to sort of work out their Christianity by human effort, by obeying rules, instead of by depending on the presence and power of God. And Paul says to them in Galatians 4:15, what has happened to all of your joy? You're trying to do this all in your own strength, and you've lost your joy, he says to that church. And so we can start to understand, you know, that even David, although he says in Psalm 16, in your presence there is fullness of joy. After he messes up in a big way in Psalm 51, he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So I'd just like us to pray this morning. You know, Jesus said to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Which is inviting God to reign. It's saying, God, I want you to reign in my heart and in my life, or whatever issue I'm praying about. And we've noticed this morning in different passages that kingdom is a kingdom of joy, and the king of this kingdom is the most joyful person who ever walked the earth. And he says, my joy I give you, that your joy may be full. So why don't we just pray, if God is touching you today and you would say, hey, I would love for the Father to fill me with this joy this morning. Maybe you've never experienced that joy from God, or maybe go, look, my joy is drained away because of stuff that's been going on in my life. I've lost my joy and I want my joy restored this morning. Well, Jesus says, my joy I give you, that your joy may be full. So maybe we could just lead a prayer and before we have our closing song. But if you would say, Lord, I want you to fill me afresh or for the first time with your joy, maybe just like to stand and we can just pray a simple prayer together and just invite God to do that. So if you'd like to pray that prayer, just stand with me. I'm going to pray it. I want to be filled with his joy. Amen. So let's just reach out to him in a way that's comfortable for you. What feels good for you, just to be saying, God, here I am. Come and touch me. So I'll just pray a prayer phrase by phrase, and you might want to repeat that after me if that works for you. Father, I come in Jesus' name. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your kingdom. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in my life. Release in me the joy that is part of your kingdom and a fruit of your Holy Spirit. Restore to me, or give to me, the joy of my salvation, in Jesus' name. Amen.